How's everybody doing this wonderful Sunday morning? Good? Good? All right. Take a deep breath. It's a beautiful day, even though it's humid as all get out. So, for those of you who are not familiar, we're going to be very relaxed in Sunday school. And please comment. I encourage you to, if you have something that pertains to the subject, please, I'll ask questions and want answers, and we will move forward. We're coming to the end of the fruit of the Spirit. It's been wonderful. It's been a wonderful study for me. A very in-depth study. Something about when God says, "Hey, my initial plan was to just do the fruit of the Spirit all in one session and just be done, man, just run through it all." And whenever I started, the Lord grabbed those reins and pulled me back and said, "I have some nuggets for you that I want you to develop." And so in doing so, make sure I'm loud enough for y'all. Sorry, Sister Sharon, you might have to turn me down. I'll try to keep the mic up to my mouth. But in doing so, if you get as much out of it as I do, then the Lord has really blessed me. Because I'm telling you, it's something that the Lord has really worked on me the last 3 or 4 months that have really helped me. And so going into the fruit of the Spirit, it matters where we're planted. It matters the ground that we are in. You know, again, and I refer to it every time, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And you're going to bring forth fruit, but it matters the ground that you're in. It matters your location. It matters where you are. And so in doing so, in having that good ground and having that place with where you can absorb as much nutrients in the Holy Ghost as possible in this really evil world that we live in, it matters. And every part of the fruit of the Spirit that is mentioned and we've studied on literally cannot have one without the other. They all tie together. They're all a fiber, if you will, weaved into this fruit that requires that nourishment. And so we're going to get into the mighty fruit of meekness today. We've been through it. Let me get to my notes. They were here. Oh, it moved me. Gotta love technology. And so you have to have love, right? It's a requirement to be able to have meekness. I have to go all the way back to the very beginning, and I have to have that love. To have meekness, I have to have joy. To have meekness, I have to have peace. I cannot have meekness without peace, and essentially, I cannot have peace without meekness. They all tie together and are joined together. And it's important for us to understand. Now, meekness is in the definition form, in the Greek definition form, is gentleness. It's humility. It's praotēs, if I pronounce that correctly. And it's just literally gentleness. That's what it's referring to. And if somebody was to come up and to describe you, Brother Brent, as meek, would that be offensive? Or an insult, or a compliment? Would it be offensive to you if you heard somebody say, "Well, he's meek," or "She's meek"? Think about that. It's a rhetorical question, but think about it. If somebody was to refer to you as being meek, Could it be offensive to you? Or would you take it as a compliment? And a lot surprising of how many people would take it as offensive. And I believe it's that way because meekness is often misunderstood. In biblical terms, meekness is strength or power under control. You have power, but it's under control. It's the ability to act with power, but choosing gentleness, choosing humility, and choosing patience instead of just going all out. It's not about being passive or being timid, but it's about deliberately restraining your rights and reaction, not for just yourself, but for others, and most importantly, for God. So I have the ability to control a power that brings glory to God. It's not about your personality. There are some people that are naturally passive. They are natural. They don't go out of their way to talk to people. They're quiet. It doesn't matter where you go, what church you go to, what school you go to, what work you go to. You always have that one that's like, oh, he's kind of off to himself. He's quiet. And I say he because I work with mostly men, right? So, or she's kind of to herself. She's quiet. She's kind of timid. So it's not about that personality, but it is about self-control and obedience to the Word of God. Don't get me wrong, it's not complacency either. It's not timidness, even though they look the same. So God has given us a temper. We just have to learn not to lose it. Amen. Right? Right? And so whenever I read about having a temper, the very first thing I thought about, Brother Jess, was tempering steel. Does anybody know what tempered steel is? What's the first thing you think of when you hear about tempered steel, Brother Brent? The hardness process. What do you think of? Which ultimately turns into a knife. That's the first thing a guy thinks of is a knife, man. Damascus steel, man, that beautiful steel that's marbled in and it's tempered, it's strengthened. Well, what is tempering? Does everybody know what tempering is? Who does not know what tempering is? It's heat treating, right? So you have this piece of steel that I've watched metal workers work with. And they beat this steel. I mean, this steel is abused. Put in a fire, heated up to beyond what it can control, forged into whatever it is that the maker is creating. And then after that, it's put in the fire again and pulled back out, and it's beat again. And it's put back in the fire again, and it's beat again. And when they finally get to the form where they want it, they stick that thing back in the fire. And they get that thing, I'm telling you, red hot. And I've been told that it's better to temper the steel in oil than it is to temper it in water. I'm sure glad that even though I've gone through some really hard times and really heated times in my spiritual life, I have the oil of the Holy Ghost to help temper my spirit. And so tempering is heating up that metal to a critical state and then quickly cooling it in that oil, and it creates that steel to be the hardest possible for the application that it's being used for. It makes it stronger than it ever has been before it went through the tempering process. How much is that like us? Us as people, going through trials and tribulations and things that happen to us in just general life. And then we turn around and we get to this point that it's like, God, I can't handle anymore. And somehow God brings the Holy Ghost into our lives and cools us off and creates us into something that we never thought we could possibly handle. Right? So everything in life we have or we deal with has a power. Brother Brent, that motorcycle has power. According to Brother Jerry, it don't have as much power as his got, but it's got power. That motorcycle has power. But guess what? That power has to be controlled. Because without having controlled power, you have destruction and chaos. The wind has power. Man, it's really nice on those hot days, Brother Jess, especially when you're doing all that mowing and weed eating. Appreciate that, by the way. For all of the men that are out there mowing and weed eating, I appreciate it. But that wind, that breeze, after a hot day of working in the sun, that breeze has a power and has a calming. Man, thank you, Lord, for a breeze. Right? But let that breeze turn into a thunderstorm. Let that thunderstorm turn into a tornado. And there's velocities of power, so much so that they've named them an EF to 1 to a 5 in tornado terms. Right? Very destructive when it's let loose and has no control. How about water? Brother Brent, me and you work with water all the time. Anybody ever seen a 20-inch main blow? Me and Brother Brent did. That's a lot of water all at one time. Matter of fact, two men were in the hole that were working on it. One of them like not to got out. Inside that casing, it's controlled. But when it's let loose, that can go anywhere at one time. That's not controlled, and it becomes very deadly. It's fun to swim in when you have a swimming pool. It's controlled. But don't jump into a river. How about fire? Fire's pleasant in a really cold winter morning, sitting in front of a fireplace. That fire is pleasant. It's warm. Man, we can talk about stories. Man, I think about fire, I think about a campfire. I think about us camping, men, us camping down here at the pond and having Joel have his guitar. And memories flood my mind about having a really good time around a campfire. But let that fire get outside of the boundaries that we've set in place for it. It becomes out of control. Medication has power. Medication has to be controlled. Because without controlling it, it becomes very destructive. I'm going somewhere. I'm building a foundation here. Okay? So medication has power, but it has to be controlled. Proverbs 16:32, Brother Josh. Did I give you that one? He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. Think about that. That's power under control. That's meekness. I find it really, really easy. There's a reverse scripture to this. There's the opposing scripture. Go to it. It's Proverbs 25:28. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. There's control there. Meekness shows up. This is something that I read and I couldn't scroll past it. Meekness shows up when you're right and they're wrong. Think about that. When it's your power to do something about a wrong, meekness enters the room, and I'm led by the Holy Ghost. How often do we let that happen? Rhetorical question. How long do we let that happen? How often do we let meekness control our lives when somebody that's wronged us walks into a room and you're like, right? I'm going somewhere. I know that we're kind of drudging here, but I'm telling you, we're going somewhere. Because there's that. This fruit is mighty. If I'm so glad the Lord made me slow down, because I would have just scrolled through this and it would have been a really quick thing. But I'm telling you, there is some meat to this fruit of understanding what meekness really is. There are things that make me angry. God has given you the natural ability to be happy, to be angry, to be frustrated, to be joyful, to be loving. These are natural feelings that come to us. There are things that make me angry, but I realize I have the power to control it. Not because I'm a coward. Not because I'm complacent, but because I'm consecrated. When I decided that I was going to consecrate my life, the Holy Ghost gave me a power to be able to control the things that happen in my life. There are things that are out of my control, but what I can control, I will control. When I said I'm going to live for God, I'm going to live for God. And I'm going to do it with all of my heart and intimacy. With everything in me, I'm going to live for God. And if that means being meek, I'm going to be meek. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 6. Did I give you that one? I probably didn't give you that one. That one came this morning in the Holy Ghost, so we're just going to follow it. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That means meekness. And having a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So I'm ready. I'm not complacent. I can be tolerant, but I'm going to be meek about it. Numbers 12:3. Moses was a very meek man. Bible says so. Above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. That's something that I want. We're talking about somebody who's leading millions. And if you look into Numbers 12, whenever I read into this, Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses, his own brother, in this chapter. And the Lord comes against them. I'm just going to kind of read it real quick. Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman who he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. Well, you didn't do something that you weren't supposed to do, so we're going to talk about it. And they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? There's a little bit of pride there that the Lord's going to talk about. And the Lord heard it. And again, it says, now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam. Come out, ye three, into the tabernacle of the congregation. Listen, I have been called into my pastor's office one time, and it wasn't Brother Crosswhite. And I fixed it so Brother Crosswhite didn't have to call me into his office. Can you imagine the Lord coming down and speaking to you and say, hey, me and you need to have a conversation. Come to the sanctuary. Yes, sir. And the Lord spake suddenly unto them. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood at the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron, Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all my house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed, and the cloud departed from off the tabernacle. And behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron turns and says, you know what? Hold up. He says, alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us where we have done foolishly. And where we have sinned, and let her not be as one dead of whom the flesh is half consumed when he cometh out of his mother's womb. And here's meekness. Verse 13, and Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, heal her now, O God, I beseech thee. That's meekness. For the persons who had come against him. And the Lord saw that it was necessary to punish them. Moses said, don't do it. Heal her. That's meekness. Psalms 37:11. But the meek shall inherit the earth, shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. I can tell you right now, and I don't, with time, I don't know that I can, but something about you ever want to know about meekness? Read Psalms 37. We're just going to follow the Lord. If I have to cut it short, I cut it short. Fret not thyself, Psalms 37:1, brother. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither about be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. It starts out with defining meekness. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily shalt thou be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him. And he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself against him who prospereth in his way because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger. Forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. It's meekness. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Just a little while. This trial, this situation that you're in, this person that's come against you, this job that's come against you, it's just a little while. Just remember that. It's just a little while. I know those little while 24-hour days can be very long, but it's still just a little while. Thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bows to cast down the poor needy, to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter their own heart, and their bow shall be broken. This is just encouragement to be meek. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the day of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed of the evil time, and in the days of famine shall they be satisfied, or they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume, and to smoke shall they consume away. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous soweth mercy and giveth. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. Again, it's just a little while. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down. For the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I've been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good, and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. The mouth of the righteous speak wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. The wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord. Keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. Get ready. It's coming. I've seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. But the transgressor shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off, but the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. The Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. You ever wanted a full understanding of meekness? There it is. So how do I become meek? How do I exercise meekness? Well, first, Matthew 11, 28 and 30. 28 through 30. Let's go there. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Ye shall find rest to your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Very first thing I do is I go to God. I want to be meek. I go to God. Well, Brother Colton, I already have the Holy Ghost. I've already been baptized. Well, that's the birth certificate. When was the last time you went to God? When was the last time that I sought after meekness in prayer and fasting, supplication? Trying to get a handle on things, right? Because there's some things that I just try to do on my own, Brother Brent. It's just what it is. I'm a man. I can handle that. I can put that on my shoulders, and then I find out really quickly it's way too heavy for what I was wanting. I did not realize. I'm sorry, Lord, here it is. I forgot. You know, there's sometimes I forget that I can't even walk without him holding my hand. Matthew 5:5 says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Like, well, first person was like, I don't, why would I want this earth? That's horrible. It's not talking about this earth. The Bible talks about there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. That's the earth I want to inherit. That's the place that I want to be, and that's the place this is talking about. This earth is not about the earth that has been talked about here is not about the one we live in today, but is referencing the new earth that will be. 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Galatians 6:1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. I think I've referred to this like the last three lessons. I need you. Thank you for those that are there for me. I want to be there for you. You find somebody that you see is hurting, that you see is struggling, just being there for them is a strength in their life. Colossians 3, 1, let me see if I saved it. I did. Let's go to Colossians 3, chapter 1. Or, sorry, Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If ye have been risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above and not things on the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil conceptions, covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God coming on the children of disobedience. In the which ye also walk some time when ye live in them, but now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man which is, or with his deeds, and have put on the new man which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. It's important that I find myself living for God, that I grasp a hold of the fruit of the Spirit. James 1:21 says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive the with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. I need the word of God in my life. 1 Timothy 6:11, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, and peace, patience, and meekness. 2 Timothy, let me see if I can get it because I marked it too. 2 Timothy, let's see, 2:21. There you go. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men. You're a servant of the Lord, by the way. Just because you're not behind a pulpit or behind a microphone or behind a desk, or you're a servant of God. And so as a servant, I must not strive. I must be gentle unto all men. It doesn't say to the ones that are nice to you. Well, that's hard. Sometimes it's a hard pill to swallow, Brother Jerry. Because I've said it before, there's a couple of them I'd like to throat punch. Just being real. But I must not. I must be gentle to all men and apt to teach and patient. Ooh, that's a hard word. In a world, in the microwave generation that we have to be patient. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God, what? Instructing those that oppose themselves. It's not talking about pastor. It's talking about a servant of God. That's my job. Point at yourself and say, that's my job. That's my job. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. That verse right there spoke volumes to me. It's my job to pray for her. It's my job to pray for him. It's my job that if the opportunity ever presents itself to meet with meekness, it's powerful. Because that's not what the flesh wants to do. Zephaniah 2:3 says, seek the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness, and it may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. 1 Corinthians 4:20-21, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. What will ye? Shall I come unto you with a rod, or in love and in the spirit of meekness? I tell you right now, I would much rather the Lord come to me in love and the spirit of meekness than with a rod. Ephesians 4:1-7. Philippians. Try that again. Boy, y'all are mighty quiet. I hope y'all are grasping this. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. It's pretty powerful. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit, the bond of peace. And again, reminding us there is one body and one spirit, even as you're called, and one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Titus 3:1-7. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish. Yep, I was. Disobedient. Yep, I was. Deceived. Absolutely. Serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Yep. That was me. But after that, the kindness and love of our God, of God and our Savior, towards man appeared. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration, renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Christ Jesus, our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. I don't care what they've done to you, they deserve the same that you've gotten. They deserve the same as me. I want them to make it to heaven. I want us to walk into heaven together. James 3:13 says, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of good conversation his work with meekness of wisdom. You see, meekness is a virtue possessed by Christ in his humanity, according to chapter 11 in Matthew, which means that it is part of his act of righteousness within us. If we are crucified with Christ, then Christ is working in us, and through Christ and through us, ultimately, Christ accredited, we show that same meekness. Colossians 1, 25 through 27, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. Thank God. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of his of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Meekness is a mighty fruit of the Spirit. And that fruit causes us to manifest our sanctification as Galatians 5:23 tells us. And that is the fruit of the Spirit. And I'm getting ready to close. Just a reminder that the fruit of the Spirit is love. It's joy. It's peace. It's long-suffering. It's gentleness. It's goodness. It's faith. It's meekness. It's temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. And if we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. There are many, many, many stories of people in the Bible who have had meekness. Abraham, when Abraham gave Lot the opportunity to choose first which way you're going. Because we can't sit together, we obviously are fighting. I'll give you the opportunity to choose first. David, prime example. Somebody, I believe that David won more battles. It wasn't the battles that David fought physically in his 10,000s of people that he destroyed. That wasn't David's victory. David's victory was his heart and his love for God. That was David's victory. His meekness. But if I was to expand on any story of the Bible, and I'm telling you there are many, and I can't go through them all because of time's sake, but if I was to focus in on one story, it would be Joseph. You see, Joseph was sold into slavery by his own brothers because of a dream, because they hated him for no reason at all. And for years, Joseph endured hardships. He would be promoted. It was a roller coaster life for Joseph. Up and down, promoted in the kingdom, demoted in the kingdom, promoted and demoted. How many of that is sometimes we feel like that's our life? We're advancing, and then sometimes it's like every time we take one step forward, it's three steps back. And it's back and forth, back and forth, and back and forth. But Joseph never sinned. Joseph had the power when it was all said and done. Joseph had the power when he confronted his brothers to unleash everything that he wanted to. But he exercised meekness and he controlled it. In Genesis chapter 50, and I'm going to close with this scripture. Sorry, I thought I had that one bookmarked. Genesis chapter 50, verse 15. That's where I'm going to start. When Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said to Joseph, they were all, okay, first off, I'm going to stop right there and say that while you are exercising meekness, the enemy of your soul is worried about what you're going to do. Just remember that. They have a thought process in their mind of, this is going to be bad because we know what we did. Watch. When Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us to all the evil which we did unto him. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph saying, thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin. For they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face. And they said, behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for I am in the place of God. That's a recognition of knowing where you are. It is important where you are planted. It's important. But as for you, you thought evil against me. But God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. That's meekness. And if I could ever expand on a story about meekness, it would be Joseph. If I could have the spirit of meekness in my life that Joseph had in his for his brothers. Hallelujah. I wonder if we could just close our eyes, lift our hands, and ask the Lord to help us with our spirit and our meekness. Lord, I'm asking you to move and minister in my life. Lord, that whenever I come against trials, when I come through storms, when I come through situations in my life, that I can grasp a hold of the fruit of the Spirit, and I can grasp a hold of meekness, God, and that I can control and exercise this meekness in my life, that not me, but you get the glory, Lord, for it is your people, it is your place, and this is your world, and you are God on the throne no matter where I am, Lord, and I believe and I trust in you, and I thank you for the opportunity to live for you in this day and to be a part of such a great kingdom and such a great time and opportunity to be here. I give you praise for what you're doing in our lives. I love you and I thank you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Brother Colton. Are you thankful for the grace of God today? Only the goodness of God will help us to become meek and have that ability to love and exercise his spirit.